Okay, shall we all stand for the reading of the scripture? First portion is in John chapter 4. Okay. Verses 10 through 14. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. From where have you that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Second one is in Isaiah chapter 12. Verse 3, "Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells, for wells of salvation." And Zechariah chapter 13. Verse 1, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." And last portion is in Revelation 22. The first two verses, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Dear Lord, we thank you, God, for seeking us out, saving us, and planting us, God, in your love. And thank you, God, for your faithfulness to bring us and teach us, God. Bless our hearing, God. We are looking for that word from heaven that touches and refreshes the soul, edifies, builds us up, and is a supply to us. God bless this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
One of the reasons why they have the fan here is to put the preacher to sleep. So, how are you doing this morning? How are you doing this morning? Last week I was told people came to church on Monday thinking it's Sunday. We had a precious time in Chiquilinta. You saw some of the pictures. But pictures cannot communicate what really happened there in the hearts of men. So we would encourage you from time to time, every couple of months, they have like a Bible class session, and they would like people to come and teach. So we would recommend, if you are available to be on the team, you can. When you sleep at night, you sleep like Jacob, with the stone being your pillow. You look up, you have the stars of heaven and the sands of the shore as your promises. So we live there for 4 days in beautiful environment, purely natural, organic. The baptisms were done in an organic pool. We had a wonderful time. So I was really blessed, and to see the number of young men and women being trained in Hyderabad that are part of those villages that these tribals live is phenomenal. They cut down a whole hill in order to make that conference possible. What did they do? Cut down a hill. I love that. So there is the inaudible expression, of God's grace. The inaudible expression of God's grace that is communicated to each one of us. It is not the purpose of God to expose our sin. It is the purpose of God to bring us to a place where our sin is convicted. But in order for a person to be brought to a place of conviction, he must be willing for God to bring to him a revelation. Okay? It is not the purpose of God to expose my sin. It is the purpose of God to bring me to a place of conviction of my sin. It is not just bringing me to a place of conviction of my sin, it's also to bring in a revelation of who God is. When we were in the last few days, 4 days when we were there, we asked God to give us a theme. The theme subject is grace. It's a very expansive subject. But people come there with a heavy heart. They come there with a problem with their identity, because they are people that live in villages, and therefore they have the idea that there is a difference between an urban God and a village God. There is a difference between an urban God and a village God. That God is somehow preferential to people that live in an urban area because we inhale pollution, right? And then God is somehow is preferential to them that live in a village area, because by nature we tend to compare ourselves with what we have instead of comparing ourselves with who lives inside of us. And so we had an amazing 4 days, and you know, in the middle of the sessions when we are talking and they were excited, they clap in the middle of the session and you forget your next thought. And as a pastor from the city, you're amazed because the appreciation for you is much greater than the appreciation that you have in the body. And so, you know, you tend to be more gracious to them. But it was phenomenal, because they are not in a place where they are privileged enough to receive the grace teaching, even though they are privileged enough to be loved by God. Let me say it again. We are not just privileged to be loved by God, we are so privileged to have received the message of the grace of God. So we tell them, if you understand deeply what it means to be loved by God, you will get a revelation much more of the grace of God. And the revelation of the grace of God will draw you away from your limitations that you have as an individual. It will do what? I said, did you ever think that from these villages, you know, hundreds of kilometers inside in the interiors where there is nothing there, Did you think one day when your children were born that they would actually be in a Bible school in an urban place called Hyderabad where some of the tribal people's kids would be studying in a Bible college and learning the Word of God and listening to ABD when they had no foundation in terms of an education or even studying the English language? Would you believe that? I said, so therefore, we must recognize something, that are we in a place as believers where we are open to the inaudible expressions of God's grace? And I want to say something this morning that is crucial. In John chapter 4, we'll go through that because it is very, very important for us. There is, number one, the communication in grace from 7 to 16 of John chapter 4. There is, secondly, the conviction by grace, and then the third thing, that is 17 to 26, and in 39 to 41, there is the celebration of grace. I was with Pastor John, so I have my points. Okay, Pastor John will tell me, do you have your points ready for the message? He has his points. So, number one, this is a story which is very interesting because Jesus Christ is very tired on this journey, from this journey, and he is going to Galilee, but he must pass through Samaria, and he is seated at a place which is near a well, and a woman that is a Samaritan comes to draw water from that well. She comes to draw water, and Jesus Christ makes this remarkable statement in John chapter 4. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me what? What did he say? You have to respond to me. Give me, he didn't say a drink. If I say a drink, then all the things will enter into your mind. He said, give me drink. The absence of the article means that he is talking of something qualitatively here. Okay, he is not saying a and n are in the English language, a and n, indefinite articles don't exist in the Greek, only definite articles exist, the. When you have the definite article, the, it identifies. When you have the absence of the definite article, it qualifies. So what he's asking for is asking for something that is qualitative in nature. That which he's asking for is not available to him. Even though what he's asking is a reference point that is addressed in the woman. The woman has come there at approximately noontime, and she's come to fill water. Now, she is a Samaritan from a Samaritan background, and she immediately understands that there are certain barriers here that are visible, where Jesus Christ is transcending upon. He is not limiting himself to those barriers that are being presented, because he is transcendent above them. When a person is able to discern the inaudible expressions of grace, he is able to transcend the social, political, physical, and cultural barriers of time. Let me say it again. When a person is able to, inaudible means that cannot be heard. God in the Bible has inaudible expressions of grace, where he communicates in such a way where he cannot be heard, but through the manner of communication there is a revelation that comes to a person. And if this revelation is understood, the believer is taken beyond an exposure of their condition and is in a place of being a recipient of a revelation. Are you awake this morning? If you understand this, because let me tell you something very clearly today. In these days that we live in, which are one of the last days, there will be things that will happen in people's lives that will be subjective to exposure. And they will not be able to handle what is being exposed. And the devil will take advantage of that exposure and will come in, number one, to either justify, number two, to rationalize, number three, to condemn. Or they can receive the revelation of God in that situation for their personal lives. Now Jesus Christ, the purpose of Jesus Christ's ministry was not punitive in nature. It was redemptive in nature. He did not come to condemn. He came to save lives. He didn't come to condemn. The words that he spoke, he didn't speak to condemn, but he came to save lives. He did not come to condemn, he came to seek and to save. So this is an amazing one-to-one conversation, and he is now addressing something beautiful. Now, Christ is hungry, he needs food to eat. He has a need, but she also has a need. She has need for water. So he's able to identify with another person's condition by putting himself in a place where he has a seeming need. Imagine that. The purpose of it is to get her to think outside of a reference point that she has in relationship to who she is, and to be a recipient of the inaudible expressions of God's grace. Jesus Christ is trying to communicate something to her which is much deeper than what she is accustomed to hear. Let me say this again. Jesus Christ is trying to communicate to her something much deeper than what she is accustomed to hear. When we are accustomed to hear legalism, when we are accustomed to hear messages of condemnation, when we hear messages that indict, when we hear messages that legislate, they may be all good in their own way, but we are only hearing messages that indict, the messages that condemn, and we build in ourselves a reference point in our lives. When a person is used to a certain lifestyle of living that is rooted and governed by the fallen nature, that becomes their only reference point in their life as they live. They do not have a reference point in their life outside of the grace of God. They do not have it, for they must hear something much deeper, and that which they hear much deeper can come if there is something that is expressed, but they don't receive it through something that is expressed verbally. They receive it as something that is expressed inaudibly. There is something of a communication that is communicated to the human heart by the grace of God, spoken in by the Spirit of God, that brings a person out of a life that causes them to be removed from that exposition that they have so found themselves living in, guilt, condemnation, shame, etc., poor self-image, and brought them into a place where they receive a revelation. How is that for an introduction? Huh? That's 50 rupees in the offering extra today. Now, he said, "Give me a drink." She says, "How can you, being a Jew, ask of me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with?" Huh? See, there are barriers here today that have been erected in the world. These barriers don't exist in God. Now, God never called a nation into existence only through separation. He calls a nation into existence also by consecration. What happened to Israel as a nation is they emphasized their separation at the expense of their consecration. Understand that? Yes or no? They said, "We are separated people. God loves us more than he loves anybody else." So in their separation, there was no act of consecration. So what happened? They did not know how to establish a reference point in another person that caused them to be delivered from their condition, so that they would receive a revelation as they would, through their calling out and separation unto God, inaudibly express something of the graciousness of God's design. You know, a person may not say much with his words, but his life means a lot. A person may not say much with his words, but his life communicates a lot. You know, Pastor Timothy, for many years, he was trying to connect with me, and I never really was sensitive enough to basically hear that cry of his heart. So he would communicate with Pastor Jomi overseas, and Pastor Jomi would communicate to me, and I didn't have the capacity to connect for whatever may be the reason. Maybe it was not God's timing, or maybe I was not sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit. And I kind of looked back now and I realized that God was trying to speak to me inaudibly. He was trying to speak to me inaudibly, because it is not the need that they have logistically in the villages, it is the desire they have for the grace of God. Pastor Timothy is very much convinced if they're in that place with the 65, 70 pastors, if they would get a revelation of the grace of God, things would be completely and totally transformed. The last time I was there, each one was giving a testimony of how many other seemingly parachurch groups were asking them to affiliate. They would give them extra money, and they said that if we had not comprehended the grace message, then we would have possibly made that decision to affiliate. But we have heard something that when we go back, we can't help it but dwell on these thoughts and communicate it. And I was thinking about it, wow, these people have such integrity. They don't have much. If you were to ask them to pack up, they would pack up in 1 hour. That is the number of possessions that they... If you and I were to pack up, I would ask people, can you give me a couple of weeks? Because that's how long it takes me to pack my books. There I got you. Now, if there was a fire taking place in the house, what do you think the pastor is running for? He's not running for his wife. He should. And his kids. He's running for his library. And his wife is saying, what about us? I'm just kidding. You would run. You would run for the books. You run. No. Jesus Christ is interested very much in the woman getting a revelation. He is not interested in the woman getting... and the woman being exposed. So she has something that she is completely taken back. First thing she says, we have a cultural problem here. We have no dealings with you, and you have no dealings with us. More than that, you are a man, I'm a woman. Then Jesus interrupts her, and Jesus says to her, if you knew who it was, the gift of God, and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living waters. Jesus Christ is not limited by her communication. Jesus Christ is not limited by her communication. Because when a person is someone that wants to initiate in grace, he is not preoccupied by the response of the person that addresses these barriers. He is not concerned. So first there is a barrier, number one. Then there is a limitation. What is the limitation? She said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Then where do you get that living water? Okay, you are sitting at the well. You are talking to me about giving me something, living water, but you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where you get this water? Third thing is, you are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank from it, for he and his sons and his cattle? Yeah, Jacob drank from that well for 20 years because he was with Laban. He said, I'm just going, his mom said, I'm going to train you to go to Laban and you go there for a few days. After that you return. She trained him to go there and stay with him for 3 days. He trained him to stay with him for 20 years. And he drank from that well for 20 years. And Jesus, she's saying to Jesus, Jacob drank for this well for? Christ said, if you understand what I'm giving you, you will not need to come to this well at all. There is a well that we drink from. There is a well that we drink from that... What does that well do? That well that we drink from reinforces our reference point in who we are in Adam. What is it? That well reinforces your reference point and my reference point of who I am in Adam. It is a well there. I come to it, I bring my water pot with it. It meets my need. Water is a very important resource. 70% of our body is full. So we drink. So it gives me a reference point about who I am in my need. Jesus Christ wanted to change her reference point of who she was. He wanted to give her a different reference point. He didn't want that to be her reference point. So she, as he is addressing something that is spiritual, she is communicating something that is physical. She is relating to something that is earthly. He is relating to something that is heavenly. But nevertheless, it's a conversation that is heading in the right what direction. So she is goes from a place in 7. He goes from a place, give me a drink. He communicates the nature of what this water is. Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him shall become in him a well of water. Now, look at her expression, okay? I'm a Samaritan, you are a Jew. Verse 7. Verse 11, you have nothing to draw with, the well is deep, where then? Can you give me this? Verse 15. All social barriers and cultural barriers are removed. All limitations do not exist anymore. She comes to a point in verse 15. What is it? Sir, give me the water so I will not be thirsty, not come here to draw. Wait a minute. Didn't you just say that you're a Samaritan, I'm a Jew? Yes, I did. Didn't you say that I have nothing to draw with, for the well is deep? Yes, I did. Didn't you just say that Jacob is greater, that we have our father Jacob and he's greater? Are you much greater than me? Yes, I did. Why should I give you this water? On the basis of the objective paper, you have a test, it's objective, you are either accepted or rejected. She failed the test. So Jesus said, fail the test. Fail the test. Jesus did not look at her condition. Jesus looked at the capacity that the inaudible expressions of grace would open up in her. The world looks at your condition. The world looks at my condition. The world looks at these barriers that are there. Social barriers, our limitations. The world looks at these things. Jesus Christ does not look at these things. He's looking at something much, what? What? Deep. Now, when we visit these places, it is not the friendship that gives them hope and a vision. It is the fellowship in the Spirit that gives them hope and vision. Pastor Timothy has had many friends over the period of years. It is not that friendship that gives them hope and vision. It is something much deeper than those friendships. And even though those friendships are important, what is it? It is the what? It is the fellowship that gives them this hope and vision. Now he's inspired with the little that is available around him. And then he said to me, that really scared me, because you know what? There are needs. And then he says, I'm thinking, Pastor Brian, we must have something like this conference. And I didn't want him to say every year. I said once in 3-4 years. Every year. And I'm saying by unbelief, no? It'll be a great idea. He's not thinking logistics, money, finances, possibly cut down another hill. He's just inspired by something that God inexpressibly, inaudibly communicated through grace to bring out something in his heart that lifted him above all the social and cultural barriers and etc. Everything that was there. The second, so that there is the communication in grace. Christ is not saying to her, you know, I am Jesus, I am the Son of God, I am the second person of Trinity, I know who you are a woman, I understand it, you know. He is not saying that to her. There is a communication in grace. The communication in grace brings a person to a place wherein it is not exposing the person in relationship to a sin. It is bringing into that person a revelation of the Son, even though there is a conviction. There is a conviction of sin. What is it? It is not a person being exposed in relationship to their sin. It is bringing a person to a place wherein which we get into the second point, and that is the conviction by grace. Now this conviction by grace is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. If Jesus Christ was angry in the Gospels, he was righteously indignated at the Pharisees and the Sadducees for living in a hypocritical manner with the garb of religiosity, and they deprive the common person, the tax gatherer, the publicans and the sinners. So Christ said they will go into the kingdom of God before you. Because there was a garb of religiosity with hypocrisy involved in it. If there was something that Jesus Christ really hated, it was that religiosity in hypocrisy that they functioned. But here are people that are condemned because, you know what? They are condemned because the world did not give them an opportunity. The world did not show them anything better than their life. There was no way for them to enter into repentance because of the hypocrisy and the religiosity that was there that did not give these people an opportunity. But when Jesus Christ came, things were different. When he came and he started speaking, people were ministered. They said he doesn't speak like the scribes and the Pharisees. People listened. He spoke with such authority. Where did he get his education? The anointing that was upon him. Miracles were taking place. Demons were cast out. So they knew that he was something different. Why? Because there was something that the grace of God was manifesting. It is not about who we are. It is about what God wants to manifest through his grace. And if there are needs in particular situations, then God will manifest himself in grace to be able to meet those people's needs. We really don't know what they are, but God supernaturally, as he transcends all these barriers, will manifest these particular kind of needs. So we have the second point, which is important, and that is the conviction. Now in the conviction, I have one more point after that, and then we close. In the conviction, there is something that is beautiful that takes place here. When she comes to the place of need in 15, Jesus Christ says to her, go and call your husband. He says to her, very simple. He didn't come. Now this is what Jesus never said. 4:7, give me a drink. 4:16, go call your husband. 4:26, I am the Messiah. He never said that in that order. Give me a drink. Woman is like wondering. Go call your husband. He never said it. There was a measure of creativity in his communication. He wanted her to be in a place where she would be a recipient of the inaudible expressions of grace. As he was saying something verbally that was audible, there was something spiritually being communicated to her that was nonverbal. And that which was nonverbal and spiritually communicated to her, which was inaudible, created in her a capacity for response. Have you ever been soul winning? When you're going to a person, first you talk to a person, they talk back to you, they think you're crazy, you're weird, why have you come here, don't you have anything better to do? They are already living in a religious system, they are doing so much, etc. But as you are communicating to them verbally, the inaudible expression of God's grace takes a hold of them spiritually, and all of a sudden you see them telling you things that they would not naturally tell even another person whom they are closely associated with. They start opening up their hearts, and you are there talking to a stranger met for the first time, and all of a sudden they want to confide in you their whole life history. And you are standing there, one moment you thought they were going to, like, you know, verbally abuse you or physically assault you. The next minute, you know, you're giving them a tissue paper and they're crying on your shoulder. What really happened here? The inaudible expression of God's grace took over their lives. There was nothing of exposure, of shame or condemnation that was brought. In fact, they started beginning to receive a revelation. And you look at their face, and there is a smile that comes, and there is a kind of a light, and you know that they are receiving something. And that's so important for us to recognize, because this is what the Holy Spirit does as you open your mouth and speak the word, as you to your life are a testimony. This is what the Holy Spirit does. So here is something that is important. So she said, I have, and Jesus said, you are right that you have no husband. And she said, now she's opening, I perceive that you are a, what? Prophet, in verse 19. Now fathers worshipped in this mount. You think she got up in the morning that day going to fill water, having a conversation with a Jew about things that were spiritual? You think she planned that day, she planned it, that would happen? No, she didn't. But God has a plan. And he meets people in unusual and extraordinary circumstances. He meets people in unusual and extraordinary circumstances. He meets people in those circumstances. And those people that he meets in unusual and ordinary circumstances have no reference point that they are going to come into contact with someone that is in communion with God. Do you know that? The world person in the world has no reference point when he wakes up in the morning that he's going to call, meet someone that has communion with God. He doesn't have that reference point. He has a reference point where if he's a Christian, he'll go to church. If he's a Muslim, he'll go to the mosque. If he's a Jain, he'll go to the Jain temple. If he's a Sikh, he'll go to the Gurudwara. They have that reference point, but they don't have a reference point of getting up in the morning and being in God's way of coming to a place where they can have contact with someone that will speak to them in such a way where the inaudible expressions of God's grace will come to them in such a way, not so that they would be exposed of their condition, but they would receive a revelation. And so we have this second point in closing, and I'll close. So what happened to her? She was saying, hey, you know, our fathers worship here, you all worship in Jerusalem. Christ says beautifully, there will come a time where you will not worship on this mountain. In Samaria, they built something there. On Mount Gerizim, the Samaritans built a temple rival to the one in Jerusalem, but you'll worship in spirit and truth. She said, she said something beautiful. I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us. Where did she get that from? Hey, wait a minute. You are living, you had five husbands, and now you are living with a person who's not your husband. You're trying to give me doctrine? You're giving me doctrine. What if this woman was in Bible school for a couple of years and she backslid? We cannot judge a person because of their lifestyle. Because it is possible that things may have happened to their lives that have caused their reference point in God to be obliterated or obscure for a moment. When the inaudible expressions of God's grace expresses itself, these reference points that are obscure and obliterated, they fade away in the light of the revelation that grace brings. Maybe Peter was complaining in chapter 5 of Luke, this fishing business stinks. Fish stinks, no? My husband stinks. My wife stinks. My kids stink. The house stinks. My neighbors are wonderful. Yeah. Peter saying this fishing stuff stinks. The only reason why I'm here is because I have to feed my family. He caught nothing all night. And Jesus has the audacity to say in Luke 5, Peter, cast your nets into the... He didn't say cast your net into the deep means Peter has to go back. Now Peter must have thought, you know, I have some news for you, but he says, nevertheless, Lord, at your word, I will do it. What happened? When the inaudible expressions of grace are heard, my reference point is not caught nothing. My reference point becomes, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Your reference point is not the net full of fish. Let me say it again. Unfortunately, when the inaudible expressions of God's grace takes a person over, they do not come to the conclusion that they are depraved before God, that God is holy, that God is love, that God is just, that He is redemptive in grace. Even though they may be recipients of that, they are more interested in the net being full. When I left from there, I prayed that they would not just be content that we from Hyderabad and the States, Pastor Jomi and myself, came there. If that was their only reference point, that someone from the United States came to Chikilinta, in the history of that village, no one must have come from there. If that was only their reference point, then I think then the 4 days of that conference was tremendously wasted. The reference point was, depart from me, Lord, for I am a... What? That is the inaudible expression of grace that did not leave Peter in a place where he was so content with... He didn't say, thank you, Jesus. Thumbs up. Awesome. Come more often. Kya? Come more Come more often. I go to a Bible study, the pastor prays for me, lays a hand on my head, and the miracle happens. I keep coming to the study. This is my church. Additions. Then God says, time for you for subtraction. When the subtractions come, what happens to my life? It is in the subtractions of my life that the inaudible expressions of God's grace become louder. As believers, how many times have we complained, murmured, we say things, we uncover, we do all these things, and we don't understand. It is in those times where God wants us to get a glimpse of the inaudible expressions of God's grace in our lives, so that we would remain with a revelation of something, but not an exposure of our sin, but a revelation of the grace of God that will deal with the situation we are finding ourselves. So this woman, what did she do in the last one? You have the celebration. What she do? There are two confessions that she made. So Jesus said, "Give me a drink. If you knew the gift of God, verse 10, and if you drink of this water, you will never thirst." What? Again. What did she do? There were two reference points that she had, 17 and 18. The first reference point is that she had no problem saying that she had no husband. That confession was a confession that she made in relationship to her life that was, I would say, that was repentance. The other confession was unbelievable. You know what she did? This is very interesting. In verse 28 and 9. So the woman left her water pot. She left her. She came there to fill water. She left her. What? Peter went to catch fish. He caught Jesus. The woman went to fill water. Christ filled her. She left her water pot. Now I'd like to draw an application, and that is what happens when you find Christ. That is what happens when a person comes into a genuine relationship of Christ, when there is a revelation of grace. There is a repentance that is associated with that revelation. That is not a repentance that is demanded. That is a repentance that takes place as a result of the recognition of who God is and the revelation of the grace doctrine that comes into our life as believers. What happens? We leave our water pots behind. What does that mean? That means we leave behind a reference point of who we are in everything that relates to Adam. It has never to be brought up again. I don't really care if you're called to give a personal testimony. I don't stand up here and I said, years ago I used to flirt. No. If you know, that is not there anymore. That is paid by the blood. That is excellently fine. That is blotted out in Colossians chapter 2, verses 12, 13, and 4. It's blotted out. It's gone. No, there is no reference point. The water pot is there. She left her water pot. That means she is going to leave at that moment of time everything that is connected with her life in the first Adam. And then it says here, she went and said, it's interesting, went into the city and said to the men, "Come and see a man who told me all the things that I have done. And they went out of the city and were coming to him." Imagine that. Now she cannot go to men. That is socially a taboo in that sense. But guess what happens? The barriers that were once erected in our lives no longer control our calling. The barriers that were once erected in our lives, they no longer control. The water pots symbolize the fact that that is not my reference point anymore. If that is not my reference point anymore in Adam, then the barriers that I erected, the source being in the water pot, that is our life in Adam, no longer control our life. What happened to her? She got out of self-consciousness and entered into God consciousness. She entered out of self-condemnation as a person. She went out of self-consciousness and she got into what? God consciousness. This is beautiful and this is wonderful that happens. And she went and told everyone. And this is, so there was a celebration. What is the celebration as a result of it? We go back to 39 to 42. So there is a celebration of grace. What is the celebration? From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because the word of the woman who testified, "He told all the things that I have." He told me all the things I have. She is not disturbed by the disclosure of her life. She is not disturbed by the disclosure of her life. You know why? When there is a revelation of the grace of God, when there is that inaudible expression of grace that communicates to me who I am, you're a sinner. You are a sinner. God is absolutely holy. You are condemned because of your sin, but Jesus chose to be condemned in your place. When that inaudible expression of grace communicates to us, the shame that Christ bore on Calvary for us is nothing compared to the shame that we might have to bear in terms of a personal disclosure of the Holy Spirit. That disclosure is necessary for our deliverance. What is it? That disclosure is necessary for her, and she is not communicating something in relationship to a reference point that was in the past. She is communicating something in relationship to the deliverance that she has had from the past. I hope you're understanding that point. And she said, come and see. And what happened to them? The Samaritans would not have been motivated if she had communicated her reference point. And they came and Jesus and asked him to stay with them, and he stayed with them what? And many more believed because of his. And they were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said we believe, for we have what? What is it? In Mark chapter 5, there is a very interesting situation that takes place. Jesus Christ is in the Gadarenes, and he delivers a legion of demons from a young kid. You know what they said in 5:17 of Mark? They implored him to leave that region. What did they do? They implored him to. You see, what was their reference point as a people? Their reference point was loss of business, because they were rearing pigs. And the demons said, don't let us go out of the city. Let us be in the pigs, because those demons were geographical demons. They had a stronghold and a plan for that area. So don't send us out of that city. So they went, and they drowned those pigs. And you know what their reference point of those people were? Their reference point was loss of, what? Finances. That was their reference point. So he asked him, we do not want you to come here into this. What was the reference point of this woman? What was the reference point? Well, she now was in a place where she could celebrate a newfound creation in Christ. In Isaiah 12, verse 3, Zechariah 13, verse 1, and in the kingdom, the millennium, and the eternal state, in Revelation 22, there is a testimony of that process of cleansing that will happen. So Isaiah 12 says, let us draw from the wells. So how will you draw from that well? You don't need a rope to draw from that well. You don't need a rope. You need a response. You need faith. The well is deep, and there is nothing that you can draw with. How can you say to me, I will give you that water? Christ was saying, there is a way by which you can draw from that well without a tangible thing, without a rope. You can draw from that well by faith, because it is a well of salvation. It is eternal in nature. And the more you sup from that well, the more you will live in the reference point of who God is, and the less of who you are. More of who God is, and the more of who you are. Draw from that well of salvation. It is there. It is limitless in its capacity. 7:37 to 39 of John says the reason why the Spirit was not given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. When Jesus was glorified and he went to the Father and was seated at his right hand, he sent the Holy Spirit to indwell each one of us. And the Spirit indwelling in each one of us gives us a particular kind of disclosure. He makes a disclosure in John 14, 21 and 23. There is a disclosure, and all the social barriers and all the limitations that we have, etc., they are there. They will not go away. But there is something God communicates inaudibly through the expression of His grace. He tells you something that will transcend all these barriers that we have constructed for ourselves because we live in the fall. Our identity is in the fall. God wants to step into the new identity and to receive something inaudibly that comes as He expresses Himself in grace to us. So as this side is definitely true about where we find ourselves, we cannot live in the denial of this side either, because this is a reality that is coming to us through grace as the revelation comes from God. I am a person who's living like this with this man at this particular point of time. But what this man is saying is so unique, and I don't have to defend myself now of saying, no, I can't follow him now because I've had this problem. This problem doesn't exist in the mind of God because of what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary. And we do not allow this side to dictate what we are called to do on this side. Many people, when we met people, they allowed this side to dictate what they are called to do on this side. This side dictates what you are not on this side. We say it again. This side dictates to you what you are not on this side. This side does not counsel you on what you are not able to do on this side. So a person can say, Pastor, I said, listen, sit down, love you. Then this message was born there for those few days I was there. We are on this side. Jesus is not asking Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. He's not asking Bartholomew, Philip, Nathaniel. He's not asking Peter, James. He's not asking Judas, the son of Simon. Come here. Affidavit. Bring affidavit. Who is this? He's a lawyer. What is it called? What is that guy called? Gazetted officer. Okay. Get your details. Birth certificate. Okay, now you come be my disciple. Many people have degrees and certificates, but there is nothing written here. Nothing. You talk to them. They are divinity school, this school, that school, and everything else. They have no clue. It's all here. Certificates. You talk to them. I ask the people in the villages and different. Anyone comes here to just meet with you, say hello. Forget about preaching and conference. Just like that. No, who'll come here? In the morning. What's that? It's your alarm clock, 4 a.m. The cow is waking you up. Jomi's like wondering, Jomi, we are in the farm, Jomi, Pastor Jomi. Everything is the sky above him. It's like unbelievable. One bug crashing against the wall. And like, it was the works. We are in the Gospels. The inaudible expressions of God's grace does not bring us to a place where He exposes us in relationship to our sin. It brings us to a place where we are convicted of our sin, but it leaves us with a revelation of His Son. And so we have the communication in grace, the conviction that is brought in grace. Communication in grace. Give me this water that I may drink of so I may not have to come here again. I don't want to come here in the 12 noon time in the afternoon, because I can't come in the morning because all the other women will know I'm living in adultery and that's my identity. I don't want to, okay. That's Christ communicating to conviction in grace. You don't need to tell me your story, but I can't help but tell you, because I know that you are a prophet. I had five husbands, but I'm living with the one who's not a husband. There was no denial. There was a confession. Celebration in grace. Come and see for yourself the person that has told you everything about. And that is the testimony that we have because of the revelation we have received. Father, we thank you this morning. You are our God. You are transcendent, but you also came down as a man to die on a cross for our sins. And we pray today that we would understand what it means to receive on a daily basis those inaudible expressions of grace. Zacchaeus was on a tree. He tried to see Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, today salvation is coming to your house. How can a man say that to a tax gatherer and a publican without there being any measure of repentance? Because through that invitation that was imposed upon Zacchaeus by Jesus Christ, Zacchaeus received the blessing of that command. Today salvation is come into your house. He said, Lord, I will give back fourfold than what I have received. No one told him to do that. His reference point was no longer him being a tax gatherer, a publican, but his reference point was someone whom God loves. And that is what has happened to us as believers. But we continue to live in self-justification, denial. We live in hypocrisy. We don't want our reference points to change because we want to accept who we are so that we can continue to live in the filth of our lives. And we don't want accountability. And so we decide, our reference point is my water pot. My reference point is my fishing nets. And that's what Peter went to after the resurrection, because that was the only thing that he knew he could do. So he went back and Christ said, no, Peter, no. You will feed my lambs, you will feed my sheep. And when Christ calls us and he gives us a revelation of the Son, our reference point in who we are in Adam is over forever. But people go back because they do not know how to be reminded, refreshed, and renewed in who they are in Christ. They don't want Sunday morning services, Wednesday night, if they can come Sunday night, when the body meets 3 times a week. They don't want all those things. Their jobs, their family, their security, their home, their comforts, all these things are more important to them in this life. And guess what? Years down the road, they are never delivered from the reference point of who they are. Generational curses are never lifted. The next generation does the same thing as the previous generation. And there is no way for God to come into their lives and deliver them out of a condition. And you know what? When the inaudible expressions of God's mercy and grace are revealed, there are decisions in faith that are made irrespective of barriers and limitations in our lives. And that is what the grace of God can do. This woman evangelized Samaria, and in Acts 8, when the Samaritans heard the gospel, Philip and company went down there to preach it because there was a foundation that was already laid by this woman in the Gospels in chapter 4 of John. We do not know what foundations we are laying on a daily basis for the next generation to function in. And may we receive this on a daily basis in our lives. So Father, thank you. Bless each one in the body here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.